Hello again and welcome to another episode of BitNote. This is David Collins. We'll be talking about video games and playing the music from the games themselves. Hope you enjoy. I'm starting this show on a somewhat somber note. A great video game composer has died in the last week or so. His name was Norman Corbell, and he composed a lot of actually film scores from various movies over the years. But in terms of video games, he most recently composed the music for the great game Heavy Rain by Quantic Dream. Before I start, I should probably play a bit of music from the game. This is the main theme from the game, the Ethan Mars theme, named after the main protagonist. And I'll listen, let you listen and talk about the rest of the game later. Powerful stuff, isn't it? Very atmospheric. Norman Corbell is a Canadian composer. This isn't quite the first game he ever worked on. He also worked on Fahrenheit, which was a game also developed by Quantic Dream, and I've played music from that game before, although probably not music that he was involved with. He died at the age of 56. It was unfortunately pancreatic cancer, which he only learned about in August 2012, so a few months before. He was actually won a BAFTA for the original music in the game, Heavy Rain, so obviously that's a great thing to go out on. And the music you heard was recorded in Abbey Road Studios, which you may recognise from being very famous with the Beatles, given the fact they eventually named an album after Abbey Road and then took a photograph of a very famous album cover that took place just outside of Abbey Road Studios on what was actually Abbey Road, and hence gave the name to the studios in the process. But to return to Norbel Corbell for a second, he had quite a task with Heavy Rain. Heavy Rain was kind of the brainchild of David Cage. David Cage is a bit of an auteur. It's very unusual in game development to have an auteur. I mean, with indie games or small, low-budget games, you know, an auteur isn't a matter of course. There mightn't be many people involved, so obviously one person is going to take primary course of action. But with a huge multi-million dollar budget for a video game, the fact is, there's usually people aren't willing to take many risks with it. They're unsure of, well, what would happen if something goes wrong, or you could go on and on. So what normally happens is games get designed by committee, and it kind of shows nearly all the time, because a lot of games just are clearly ideas that from our other games or very similar. And, you know, part of it you can see is, okay, they're a bit conservative, they don't want to do anything too crazy, and that's kind of it. But you can still kind of largely go with common trends and still have your own flavour to it. You know, it's not an excuse for just having the same tone or the same texture or the same aesthetics as all the other games out there. So suddenly having a guy with David Cage, who kind of had a strong vision for where he wanted the game to go and believed to make it a more cinematic and try to make engaging storylines that with people that grabbed people's attention, you know, this makes David Cage's work at Quantic Dream some amazing stuff. And with the Fahrenheit, it was kind of a strong thriller about characters dealing with paranormal forces and suddenly a guy desperately trying to prove his own innocence. But with Heavy Rain, he turned the theme more to fatherhood. It's still a thriller. There's a serial killer involved and there's a hunt for various people to find out who it is. But the core of the game that David Cage wanted was to be about the main character, Ethan Mars, losing his son, or throughout the game trying to get back his son. And of course, this is where Corbell comes in. He was to provide the score to this game, and he did a fantastic job. David Cage especially knew how important music was to getting the atmosphere and the mood and the raw emotion of the game, and it provided so much to giving the same tone of Heavy Rain, which was kind of troubled and, but you know, pressing on, but also just so atmospheric. I think that the one of the best ways to describe Norman Corbell's work in the game is actually to quote David Cage himself in a quote that actually appears on Norman Corbell's website. It goes from David Cage: "The first notes raise the hairs on the back of my neck. Ethan's theme fills the studio, swelling with emotion from the breath of the brass and the stroking of strings. Ethan is born for the third time, first in the writing, secondly in the image, and now in the music. The theme will give colour to Ethan's story. I wouldn't give my place up for anything in the world." Powerful words. That quote you just heard describes the track that you've just heard, the theme for Ethan Mars, who is the main character in the game. But it's not all that sort of tone. There's also far more frantic and energetic parts and suspenseful parts in the music score, dealing with scenes where a lot more frantic things are happening. What I'm about to play right now is the Bulldozer theme, and let's just say, it happens in a part in the game where you're really trying to find a way to get out of the place you're currently in right the heck now. It's a pretty strong moment of the game. I'll just play it now. And then I'll talk a bit more about the game itself. We'll be right back. Heavy Rain was released in 2010 as an exclusive for the PlayStation 3. It was developed by Quantic Dream, who previously also developed Fahrenheit, also known as Indigo Prophecy, and of course Omicron the Nomad Soul, which also had a bit of a David Bowie soundtrack, but let's not get into that right now. Maybe in another episode. Heavy Rain essentially deals primarily with Ethan Mars, but also about a serial killer. It takes a huge amount of inspiration from a lot of typical American thriller movies, especially one involving serial killers, and also probably, as has been noted, from the movie Seven, the 90s movie, which I'm going to have to take on faith because I haven't actually seen that movie yet and didn't quite get around to watching it before this episode. The movie is basically involves Ethan Mars, who is this father of two, happily married, and just as he wakes up at the beginning of the game and you have him walk around the screen and play with his kids and shave and work on the architectural drawings, you know that everything is so bright, sunshiny and happy that everything is bound to get flushed down the toilet pretty soon. And indeed it does. When his son Jason goes missing at a mall, he races after him and just finds him outside of the mall just before he gets hit by a car and tragically dies. We cut forward to some time later where we find that Ethan is in the throes of depression, dealing with psychological problems from the car crash, and doing all he can to keep his remaining son, who has grown distant, going. And of course he's divorced, which really, really doesn't help things. There's some talk there about this guy called the Origami Killer, who kills small little boys and leaves origami figures on their bodies. But Ethan doesn't really consider that much right now. He's focusing on just trying to make sure his kid is okay. Until, unfortunately, one day, when he was looking after his kid, he blacks out. He wakes up to find that his kid is missing. He has no idea. An origami figure is in his hand and he has absolutely no clue what's going on. And so suddenly then begins a desperate struggle. He starts getting messages about saying what he'll do in order to save his son. That's actually the tagline of the game. What would you do to save your son? And suddenly realizes that whatever demented, psychotic person is actually keeping his son ransom, he wants Ethan Mars to go through a series of tasks with the only promise that if he does these, he'll be able to get his son back. Left with no other choice, Ethan tries to go at the tasks, tries to gather everything he can to do whatever he can to try to get his son back. Meanwhile, there's several other characters in the game. There's Madison, who's a journalist, and Scott, who's a private investigator, and another guy who's basically an FBI agent with the really cool advanced visors and stuff. And basically, they're all looking for the Origami Killer too, along with the police department. The whole game is sort of like a whole about these all different characters just trying to get to the bottom of it. Ethan Mars is really the only one not trying to find the Origami Killer. He's just trying to get his son back. And so the game begins. Everyone trying to get their own agenda. Everyone trying to get what they want. Everyone going through tense and crazy situations. Going through various scenes, learning everything more that they can. And then, of course, the quest to both answer two major questions. Will Ethan Mars get his son back? And who exactly is the Origami Killer? Let's just say that the answer may surprise you. If it sounds a pretty energetic and slightly non-conventional video game, then, well, it kind of is. But it's a very good one. The game controls your characters on a fairly low level. You have them walk around various rooms. Every time there's a new scene, your characters will find themselves in a new location. You have to move your characters around and interact with various items or talk to characters in order to move on. It has something in common with classic adventure games, but usually the game moves you on pretty quickly from scene to scene so that you never really get stuck in any place for any period of time, which is the same sort of philosophy that they employed in Fahrenheit, another, like, as I said, Quantic Dream and David Cage game. Often there are times when you'll have to perform complex actions and you'll have to move little controls on the joypad or press buttons in a certain sequence in order to get the character to perform actions on the screen. You'd think it would get a little tiring, but it sort of gets you interesting because each time you're interacting with something, it's a different challenge. You have to put a different set of buttons. And then, of course, there are times when the game really ramps up. Sometimes there's a fast action sequence. Maybe you're driving in a high-speed chase. Maybe you're being attacked by assailants. And at least three times in the game, you're trapped in a car in a dangerous circumstance and desperately have to get out of the car. One of them being the aforementioned bulldozer sequence, which that tense music I was playing there refers to. Let me just say, when that bulldozer is happening and you're desperately trying to get the controls to figure out how to break out of that freaking car you're in right now, it is just a frantic experience. And that's sort of the whole game, main of the game. It shifts between sort of more somber tones of Ethan Mars as he tries to figure out what to do, then more tense sequences where basically life and death situations are literally happening, and then more investigative parts, such as with the FBI guy who's searching the crime scene, methodically trying to work out and cross-reference stuff to try to build up a pattern that allow him to figure out who the origami killer is. So it's, like I said, it's a mix of somber reflection, tense action, and investigative thrills, and it all comes together pretty damn well. At times it feels it's taking a little too much heavy inspiration from Hollywood thrillers, but, you know, it's, at the end of the day, it's just very well constructed, and the game Heavy Rain is pretty damn gripping. It's also got that whole interactive storytelling angle, so while there's a large amount of the plot kind of determined, I mean, it's as is the case in other games like this, there's a fair bit of flexibility in how you make a decision you make earlier on in the game influences things later on. For instance, like I said, Ethan Mars has a bunch of trials to do, but what happens if he doesn't complete a trial? Is it an instant game over? Nope. But the consequence of not completing that trial won't be felt until later on in the game. And it happens in a lot of other respects too. There's a lot of different ways you can play the same scene. Sometimes you'll get a little award for how you played a dream. That they're called trophies in the PlayStation 3. They're like achievements, which I'll talk about that some other time. But essentially, that gives you a lot of options. You have different ways of playing a different scene, and it might give you different consequences, which is a fair bit of fun. In terms of how I said, there's a lot of movie influences. That's all come to head because I believe that the options for this game have been optioned by Hollywood. So there actually is, I hear, a movie in the works based on this game that's simply called Rain. Now, since the game was adapted from movies in the first place, no reason it shouldn't make a very good game, especially since some of the ideas in it are pretty good. But obviously, you never absolutely know what's going to happen when a game gets turned into a video game, when a video game gets turned into a movie, and generally the results haven't been the best, but then again, generally speaking, movies don't always turn out very well, so it's just, we'll have to see what that movie is. I'd be interested in watching it and see what it's like. Of course, it won't have some of the moments where you can decide a character's actions, or if there's a tense moment, decide exactly, make a snap decision on what the best action should be. I mean, that's one thing with movies. You're always screaming at the characters, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. But a good interactive game like this, you'll actually have some degree of latitude over saying, you know, I want the character to do this, and great, I can actually make the character do this. Of course, sometimes it won't actually give your character the option to do that, which can be frustrating, but generally this game is really good at that. So, for instance, when at one point your character, you've got a male character, and a female character has done something to you, and she's saying, please forgive me, you can decide whether you forgive her, or you just rebuff her and saying, no, it's my own decision. And I love decisions like that. Of course, a lot of other things about it is that you basically have consequence for your actions. Like I said, the game actually has several different endings depending on how your characters do, or even whether some of your characters survive. Like, you play as multiple characters through this game, as I said, like the different FBI guy and the private investigator, everything, and sometimes the choices you make just do influence things down the line. So it's all pretty cool and just makes it a lot really interesting game. I'll finish talking about this game with one track that I really like about this. It's called Painful Memories, and of course, if you know who it's by, Norman Corbell. David Cage and Quantic Dream are working on a new game now called Beyond Two Souls. And while it's actually not that much has been revealed about it so far, it's probably going to be something pretty major, knowing these guys, or at least pretty damn different from everything that's out there so far. Norman Corbell was actually working on this for the music on this game before he died, so I think there's still a chance to hear a little bit more of his music. But for now, let's just play Painful Memories. Thank you. Well, I think after that sort of heavy track and what we've been talking about, I think I'd like to change to something a little more upbeat for the rest of the show. Sound okay with you guys? I think so. And that was from the video game Teen Agent, which was by Metropolis Software House, and was composed by Radek Zmierzch, I think it's Polish, and surprisingly enough, I think this is the only video game that he ever composed anything for. I could be mistaken, I'm just having trouble finding anything else he composed. But anyway, the game is called Teen Agent. It's kind of a pun because it's teenager, teen agent, because you're a teenager secret agent. And it's made by a Polish game development company in the mid-90s. And it's a classic fun adventure game that not only is good, but you can also get it for free online and play in ScumVM, which is a piece of software that allows you to play classic adventure games on pretty much anything, no matter what sort of system you're using. Teen Agent is a very fun adventure game. It begins with gold mysteriously disappearing from vaults and banks all over the place, and the secret agency, left with pretty much no other options and completely stumped, decides to call in a psychic to randomly select a name out of the phone book to find the person who they believe will instantly be able to solve their problem. And it turns out to be a teenager. So they just go with it, send him off to a camp, and assume that if he survives, then he could go on and find the quest to find out what's happened to all the missing gold. So they have a teenager find items that are gigantically valuable and trust him to bring it back. Well, it's a nice plan, and thankfully in this game it works. You are not given, unfortunately, the option to just hightail it out of there with all the gold in your once you find it. And yes, I know it's a bit of a spoiler that you win the game in the end, but come on, it's a video game. They weren't going to pull it away from you at that moment. The game's very whimsical and has a great sense of humour. Some of the dialogue is actually kind of funny and surreal, and especially if you're a bit of a fan of these sort of adventure games, there's one line of dialogue that just goes instantly crazy. It's like, it's basically trying to almost take the mick out of adventure games, but still plays it completely straight-faced. But there's just a lot of really nice banter between the characters, a lot of good jokes, a lot of nice little funny references here and there, like including to a music group that was very popular in the 90s, but it's kind of subtle and everything. And just generally, you've got bright, colourful graphics, you've got sometimes mind-boggling puzzles, which you just have to think laterally in order to solve. Yes, you move them around, you pick up items, you try to find the right thing to do. And you've got this great, big, bright, colourful environments to move your character through and try to hunt down who's taking all the gold. Remember, you can download the game freely if you want on GOG.com, that's GOG.com, which also sells a lot of other classic video games, but this one's freely available. And with that, I leave you. Thank you very much for listening and listening to all this great music and the history behind it. This has been David Collins with BitNote. You can follow us on BitNoteFM on Twitter. BitNoteFM.com is our website, and of course the DublinSouthFM.ie website will contain full list of episodes, and which you can listen to instantly online. I want to thank you all for listening. I hope you've had a good time, and I'll leave you with Village. Thanks. Bye. Thank you.